Hello there, Bernie Miklas back with you. I hope you had a wonderful, wonderful Merry Christmas. We're in that kind of post-Christmas haze. I know I am a little bit, but I'm doing good, feeling good. Took a couple days off, as you know. Want to talk about one thing today, talking about the Cardinals and the perspective of like what's been going on in terms of how people, you know, how upset should fans be, and fans can be as upset as they want. But, and there's, as I've said, gosh, I don't know how many videos, how many columns I've written. There's a lot of reasons to be ticked off at the Cardinals and the way things have gone downhill. There's no doubt about it. But I wanted to use as kind of a jumping off point. I wanted to use something that David Schoenfield, my friend at ESPN.com, wrote, I don't know. It was last week sometime, maybe pretty recent. Just didn't have time to get to it with all the holiday crush and everything. But he did a list of what he said were the top 10 aggrieved fan bases in Major League Baseball. And he ranked them from 10 to 1, one being the most aggrieved. Okay. So number 10, he had the Miami Marlins. Number 9, he had the St. Louis Cardinals fans. Number 8, Colorado. 7, Chicago Cubs. 6, Pittsburgh. 5, Toronto. 4, Minnesota. Number 3 were the Chicago White Sox. Number 2, Seattle Mariners fans. And number 1, LA Angels fans. Yeah, I mean, I'm not – one thing I'm not here to do is like to dispute the rankings. I mean, he explained in pretty good detail why he had each one of these fan bases on the list. And in other words, he's supporting the fact that these fan bases are aggrieved. They're unhappy. He's not knocking them. He's supporting the fact that there's some unhappiness out there. And in terms of the Cardinals, Dave, if you missed the piece, I mean, David said the franchise had its first losing season, you know, in 2023 since 2007, and 2024 was a non-playoff season with the Cardinals overachieving just to win 83 games. Their fans, used to winning, are already growing impatient since 2025. Looks like a rebuilding year. The Cardinals are trying to trade Nolan Arenado. They may trade, he mentions, just the possibility of trading Fetty. And he didn't mention Helsley, but again, at least a possibility. I can't handicap these things anymore. He continued, they're going to have to give Nolan Gorman and Jordan Walker another chance to prove themselves. But if those two don't hit, where will the offense come from? That's a good question. We've asked it. You've asked it a million times. He said the Cardinals haven't developed a starting pitcher, at least one they didn't trade away, meaning the prospects they traded to Miami for Ozuna, Zach Gallen, and Sandy Alcantara. But he says they haven't developed a starting pitcher that they kept and seemingly forever. The last homegrown starter to make 30 starts in a season was Jack Flaherty in 2019. David Schoenfeld went down to the end here, and this was his final paragraph. Quote, the only $100 million free agent the Cardinals have signed remains Matt Holliday way back in 2010. Going down the route that they did last season, acquiring pitching depth with the likes of Sonny Gray, Lance Lynn, Kyle Gibson, but not making any other major additions is not a path to success. The fans have spoken as well. In 2024, Cardinals attendance dropped below 3 million for the first time in a non-COVID season since 2003. The Cardinals are a long way from being the Marlins or the Rockies, but this does feel like a precarious time in Cardinals history, and the franchise could go in either direction. I totally agree with his final statement there, because it is a precarious time in Cardinals history. The Cardinals nor their fans have been in this spot for quite a long time, and it is true that the franchise could go in either direction. I don't think I need to explain that, because they were going to need their young core nucleus that they're going to give opportunities to allegedly in 2025. They're going to need these guys to go the right way rather than the wrong way. And then you also have a new baseball management coming in Chaim Bloom. And again, I think the farm system is going to be strong with him. I think he'll do a good job spending money as far as finding good value for the price rather than throwing money away on middling mid-level guys that don't move the needle. But it is a precarious time in Cardinals history. But I do think it's kind of interesting, because I am not in any way, and this is the part that irritates me about doing these videos or writing columns about this, because I can take a baseball bat, metaphorically speaking, to the Cardinals and the way they've let this thing slide. I can talk about this for hours and I can write thousands of words about it. And I can hit it over and over and over and over again. The way they let this thing slide, the way their model got old, the fact that they didn't keep in pace with some of the smarter organizations. The Cardinals got really, really dumb. They could have avoided this downturn. They have had just some disastrous decisions, spending money on free agents, things like that. There was a big trade that backfired. The Ozuna trade, although it made sense at the time, which a lot of hypocrites won't admit, but it did make some sense at the time. I mean, I could go on again. All you got to do, you go to scoopsnetwork.com and read my columns. Just look at the headlines. I've been blasting the Cardinals a lot for the way that the ownership and the management allowed this to happen. But anytime I dare even try to give some perspective to this, of course, that makes me a man on the payroll. You know, I'm in the tank and all that stuff. People are just nuts. I don't know how else to say it. You know, there's just simply no moderation in terms of looking at the good or the okay, or, hey, that's an unfair criticism, and absolutely bringing the hammer when they deserve it. And I've done that a lot, but you wouldn't know it based on, you know, some comments, whatever. It's part of the life. It's okay. But I just wanted to note that before I proceed. That's the point. Because I look at, for example, I look at the other nine teams on the most aggrieved fan bases of the top 10. I look at the other nine aggrieved fan bases and I look at the teams, you know, and it's interesting because, you know, if you look at when the Cardinals, they went through an incredible run from 2000 through 2015. Since 2016, the Cardinals, even with the 2-year downturn, 23-24, the Cardinals are still 10th in the major leagues in winning percentage. And I'm not saying that should be the end all. Again, once again, it's not the goal to be 10th best in the majors. But I'm just saying, when you look at the aggrieved fan base list, you know, the Cardinals being 10th, the only other fan base on this list that has had a better winning percentage, their team has had a better winning percentage since 2016, is the Cubs, but they're at number 9. They're just barely above the Cardinals. I mean, you look at some of these other teams, Miami 29th, Colorado 25th, Pittsburgh 26th, White Sox 28th, Angels 22, and then there's a bunch of them in the teens, so on and so forth. So you look at that. My point is, that since the Cardinals started to slip down, it was kind of a gradual erosion. You know, of all the 10 franchises on this list for having the most aggrieved fans, there's only been one team, the Cubs, that have won more games over that time. And then if you look at some other things, like now, we've all talked about how disgusting the Cardinals have been in the postseason since they returned to the playoffs in 2019 after a 3-year absence. You know, they're 4-11 in the postseason. There's no defending that. That's terrible. And in fact, baked into that is the fact that they lost 9 out of their last 10 postseason games. But even then, and it ain't saying much, right? It ain't saying much. Again, please understand me, please. Even then, those 4 postseason wins are 3rd on the list of these 10 teams with the most aggrieved fan bases. And if you look at how many times since 2016 the Cardinals have made the playoffs, it's 4, which is tied for 1st with a couple other teams on that list. So, you know, I'm just trying to just, you know, point some things out. I absolutely do think Cardinals fans have so many legitimate reasons to be ticked off because this didn't have to happen, and Cardinals fans have supported this franchise remarkably well, tremendously well. And have been, as I talked about it, it's been a great partnership between Cardinals ownership management and the Cardinals fans, because the Cardinals supported the team. The team had maintained a high standard of winning, but only one side of this, only one party in this kind of allowed that partnership to deteriorate. And it wasn't the fans. It was Bill DeWitt Jr., the owner, and it was the front office led by John Mozeliak. So the fans have every right to squawk about how the Cardinals began to let the standard slip, and the Cardinals thus began to not hold up their end of this deal in the partnership they've had for a long time with the great fan base in St. Louis. The Cardinals let that down. The fans did not let the Cardinals down. The Cardinals let the fans down, and that needs to be emphasized over and over and over again. But I do think, this is just my opinion, and I'm going to just go ahead and assume that some of you will, of all the things I've said in this video, I'm sure some of you will only latch on to what I'm about to say now. If you keep it in perspective, yeah, the last couple of years have been way below Cardinal standards, generally speaking. But also just the fact they've lost 9 out of their last 10 postseason games, and they've only won a single postseason round since 2014. Those things, that stuff should have never happened. There's no excuse for it whatsoever. Once again, you let the farm system erode. You stop developing pitchers. You've only had one position player other than Pujols, Molina, and so on and so forth. If you go back a certain way, maybe to 2019 or 2018, there's only been one homegrown position player to make the All-Star team. That was Paul DeJong. I mean, stuff like that is just ridiculous by the Cardinals standards, which were very high. But that's also why they hired Chaim Bloom, who hired Rob Serfolio, and they're going to completely redo the farm system and the player development system to get it back up to modern standards and then some. Because it needed to happen. When you don't develop a really good starting pitcher in a long, long time, and your one homegrown all-star is Paul DeJong, I mean, yeah, it was time to rebuild the farm system and update it and put money into it so it's no longer an embarrassment. I still don't believe there's pushback on there. Well, this is just a way to cut payroll. This is all this is. No, no, no. Again, I don't know why anyone would be against, if you're a Cardinals fan, why would you be against fixing the minor league system? That's your lifeblood. When the Cardinals had the talent flowing all those years from the farm system, they just kept winning and winning and winning and winning because it would supplement, you know, some of the great core players they had. As soon as the farm system started to go down, 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 down in terms of what made it to the major leagues and how good those players and pitchers did, that's when this whole thing started to slide off the tracks. This ain't that complicated, my friends. You got to fix this. And if it means, cutting payroll for 2025, I don't really care because this is long overdue. If they're taking a step back in 2025, I really don't care. It's long overdue. But there has been, I really believe this. Once again, I guess I just got to say it a million times. The Cardinals messed this up. It never had to get to the point that it reached. It's their fault. Bill DeWitt did not intervene. He did not change the front office. He waited too long to do that. Waited too long to bring in someone like Chaim Bloom. They made terrible mistakes that easily could have been prevented. Want me to repeat that? No, I think you get it by now. I'm on your side on 90% of this, all right? But I do think there has been a loss of perspective to a degree. At least to a degree. And here's what it is. We're so used to the Cardinals winning and winning and winning and winning and winning that when sort of the inevitable downturn hit, a downturn once again that was caused by them and no one else, their fault, no one else, right? But all of these teams, you look, some of the great teams that we lionize now, it's like, oh, look at them. You know, the Cardinals need to be more like those teams or whatever, right? I'm just using just words. You know, so many really outstanding baseball teams like of today went through this. And they went through it all not all that long ago, really. The Los Angeles Dodgers, for example, they're the gold standard now. And, you know, I was kind of looking at some of the stuff that they went through. And, you know, if you look at the Dodgers, they went through a stretch where they only made the playoffs. And I've lost my spot here and I can't find this. And I don't know why that is. Well, probably because I'm a knucklehead, right? Here it is. You know, the Dodgers went starting in 1997. And, you know, Bill DeWitt, the reference point is Bill DeWitt bought the team in 96. Okay. Starting in 1997, the Dodgers made the postseason four times in 16 years. That's the Dodgers, okay? In other words, yeah, even the mighty Dodgers, and they had their owner during that time. There's a couple different ones. They weren't very good, okay? But the Dodgers went a long time out there in the wilderness. They were not good at all for a franchise of that net value. And a franchise with that payroll capability, four times in 16 years, starting in 1997. We thought, oh, the Cardinals need to be more like the Phillies. Well, I agree in terms of Cardinals need to win like the Phillies have been winning. The Phillies didn't make the playoffs from 2012 through 2021. I believe that's 10 seasons. 10 seasons. They didn't make the playoffs, okay? But now they're the gold standard, and we shame the Cardinals for not being like them, okay? Because the Cardinals are now having their downturn, right? You look at the Mets. Yeah, Steve Cohen's changed everything because he's one of the wealthiest people in the world. But even when he bought the team, they threw a lot of money around, and he went bananas when he first took over. And they didn't win with all that money being thrown around. In fact, they offloaded Scherzer and Verlander and some other players, and they kind of started over. So it's not as if like everything's turned to gold since Steve Cohen came in there with all of his billions of dollars, and his desire to win is beyond reproach, right? But the Mets have made, including this past season, including the last couple times they've made the playoffs, the Mets have made the postseason five times in 24 years. Five times in 24 years. Where else can I go with this? The Atlanta Braves, and I was talking about this, I think there's a little bit of a parallel between the Braves that I'm about to tell you about and the Cardinals right now. You know, the Braves, they had a long, sustained run of success. You know, John Schuerholz, Hall of Fame front office executive, Bobby Cox, Hall of Fame manager, you know, Glavin, Smoltz, Maddox, I mean, Chipper Jones, blah, 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 blah. Just going right down the line. You understand how great that they've been. But they reached a phase, they reached a time where some of their superstar players were no longer there. They didn't have the big three starting pitchers anymore. Chipper Jones retired. And before the Braves kind of reactivated themselves to start signing players in the international market, a lot of really good players to turn things around. The Braves, from 2014 through 2017, that's four seasons, four consecutive losing seasons, 14, 15, 16, 17. I mean, they averaged about 71 wins, I think, during that time, if I've added that up correctly. But they were a terrible team. And what did they do? They brought in a new guy to run it. They kicked out the previous regime, and they brought in a new front office, led by, and I always mispronounce his name, you know, Alex Anthopoulos. And they got real smart again, and they started doing things better, right? And the Braves have been really good. But it's funny because for all the money, 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 payroll, 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 payroll people, that's all you look at, right? When they won the World Series in 2021, they had the 14th payroll, you know? But do you know why they did that? Because they were smart, because they knew how to build a roster under the new regime. Maybe offering some hope to what the future of the Cardinals looks like, all right? So you look at the Braves. They were awful for four consecutive seasons. You look at the Chicago Cubs. You know, for all the hullabaloo about Theo Epstein and what they did, and, oh, my God, they won the World Series in 2016. They had a super team. First World Series title since 1908. The Cubs have won. They haven't won a postseason game since 2017, and you know, Bill DeWitt Jr. has a lot of money. He's worth a lot of money. The Ricketts family is worth more money, and the Cubs, because they play in Chicago, and they have a built-in gold mine in Wrigley Field, which is a tourist destination. The Cubs have a supply of resources, financial resources, that pretty much blows away everyone in baseball except for a few teams. You know, the Cubs can do whatever they want to do. They've got the financial firepower to dominate. They haven't won a postseason game since 2017. I'm just trying to provide some perspective here. Downturns happen even to the finest of baseball organizations. you know, major league franchises that win and win and win and win and have the highest standard that they reach so many times. And then the music stops and then they stink for a while. And a lot of it has to do with their own mistakes and failings. In other words, they brought it upon themselves. That's what the Cardinals have been going through the last couple of years. And that's why they're making a change to rebuild from the ground level, the farm system and the player development system, which has got to be the foundation of success for them. Because I don't know, you know, when the next Albert Pujols is going to come around. I don't know when the next Yadier Molina is going to come around. Or the next Adam Wainwright. You know, those dudes ain't easy to find. So what do you have to do? You may not have that, like, a future Hall of Famer in development, but you might have a lot of really good pitchers and hitters in development that will help you be really good for a long time, right? You just don't, like, snap in a replacement for Albert Pujols, right? Anyway, so I'm looking at this, and I mentioned the teams I wanted to mention. And they've all gone through this. It's now maybe the Cardinals' turn to go through this. And again, one more time, it's the Cardinals' fault that it got this place because it didn't need to happen. But I see people out there, and I've alluded to this like on Camo X recently. You know, there is so much that is justifiable and warranted and totally legit about blasting the Cardinals. There's so many places you could go. Talk about why you're upset and why this is unacceptable and why, you know, Bill DeWitt just let it slide and he let Mozeliak kind of drive this thing into the ditch, okay? All of that stuff is 100% legitimate. Bring it on. Smack them around. You know, you can roar like a lion. I'm with you on that. I've done it myself a lot of times. But you know, the stuff we hear, like we're doing, I think it was actually in, you know, a couple comments in one of the videos, someone said, oh, you know, congratulations to the Cardinals, you know, to DeWitt, Mozeliak. They've turned the Cardinals into the Pittsburgh Pirates West. What? See, that's when you destroy all credibility. In other words, I repeat, you got about 100 things that you can criticize that are completely valid and justifiable. But then when you start talking absolute nonsense, saying the Cardinals have become the Pittsburgh Pirates, you mean the Pittsburgh Pirates, the team that's made the postseason three times in the last 32 seasons? Really? The team the last 32 seasons have 28 losing records? Oh, the Cardinals are that bad, are they? Why do you even go there? Why does anybody even go there? It's just complete nonsense. And any standing you had as a critic, you lose all your credibility. I mean, I have no reason to pay attention to anything else you say because you have no perspective whatsoever and you overstate it and exaggerate it to the point of virtual insanity. You know, so why should I listen to that? Some guy we were on, when, you know, KMOX the other day, the Gas House Gang, said like, oh, congratulations, you know, Bill DeWitt, you know, you've turned the Cardinals into the White Sox. Really? The White Sox the last 2 years have averaged 111 losses. The Cardinals that bad? They haven't been good. Again, I'm on your side. Last 2 years never should have happened, right? But they're not the White Sox. And if you look at the White Sox, they've been in the postseason twice in the last 16 years. So, Who in their right mind would make that comparison? It just makes no sense. That's the kind of stuff that I look at and I draw the line and say, well, listen, man, I'll take the mallet. I'll take the cudgel with you and pound on all the things they've screwed up and state again, it never should have happened. But they're not the Pirates, all right? They're not the White Sox. They're not the Rockies. They're not any number of teams I could have mentioned. What they are is a team going through a downturn because they screwed things up. Just like the teams I've mentioned, the Braves, the Cubs, the Phillies, the Dodgers, the Mets, and there's some others, but you get my point. They all went through similar phases like this, right? But, you know, getting back to, you know, the 10 most aggrieved fan bases, I think Cardinals fans, I think putting them on that list is totally fine. Because again, there's a lot of reasons to be unhappy. But I also look at this, you know, and I look at the other nine teams, you know, and we're comparing them since Bill DeWitt took over in 96, because that's the pertinent time frame. The Cardinals, of all those 10 teams, right, that are on the fan bases, most 10 agreed fan bases, the Cardinals have won 75 postseason games during current ownership. The only other team on this list of 10 that have the most agreed fan bases, the second most postseason wins over this time is 25 by the Cubs, who haven't won a postseason game since 2017. So I understand Cardinals fans, because I agree with many, many of your grievances and your complaints and your frustration. I'm totally on board with it. But I do think that there has been a loss of perspective. That's all I'm saying. It's not up to me to criticize fans, but if you want my opinion, I think most of this stuff overwhelmingly is on target. But even when the Cardinals have been bad, right, when they go bad, man, out there, there's just there's a lot of example of just how really what really, 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 really bad means. And, you know, even the Cardinals during this time from 2016 through 24, this is when they started to slide. They still made the playoffs four times. In fact, they've made the playoffs four times in the last 6 years. And granted, they didn't do a damn thing except for 2019 when they beat the Braves in the opening round. They didn't really do a damn thing once they got there, except for that Braves series. But the point is, a lot of the teams on this list are just total disasters. I don't think the Cardinals are a total disaster. I think the Cardinals, I'm going to use the same thing I said earlier, I think they drove the thing off the road and into the ditch, and it never had to happen and never should have happened. But we're looking at some just chronic losing organizations that have never figured a way to get things right. So hopefully that's going to change under Chaim Bloom. And we're going to have a lot to talk about during the 2025 season. We all know that, because there's a big, big year for a lot of the younger players. And heck, the Nolan Arenado situation remains resolved. So we don't even know what it's going to look like by the time the Cardinals are headed to Jupiter. But anyway, those of you who are reasonable-minded about what I'm trying to say, and you listen to everything I say rather than jump on one thing you didn't like, I appreciate you for hearing me out on this, because I'm on your side. I just don't go to the extreme as much as some of you do. And I don't know that it's really that many people, and like on a percentage basis. But anyway, again, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. I this is Friday, but I doubt if I'll be back until Monday. But anyway, it was good to hop back on with you, and I hope you have a wonderful weekend. Thank you.